Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is SEC Football Unfiltered. Episodes available each and every week wherever you find your podcasts. He's on the Everything app at B Topmeyer. Blake, you've written about the dilemma of fall weddings. I have this question for you. Is that dilemma outdated now that we can watch every game on our phone?
It's a fair question, but I actually think that makes the debate more complicated because I'm a big anti-watching stuff on your phone at either weddings or wedding receptions. I'm a very hard line of, I think it's okay to have fall weddings. I also think it's okay to skip your friend's fall wedding if you want to watch ball, but I don't think it's okay to attend a fall wedding and then be watching games on your phone the whole time. I think that's bad juju. I think that's borderline disrespectful. I don't think you're bringing a good energy to the situation. So if you go, you have to be comfortable missing the games, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of protocol there. Because I do agree with you. It's fine to skip. If they demand that you be there, they have to put you in the wedding. Like that's kind of my standard. I understand this is two dudes talking. I kind of abide by the philosophy. If you're going to do it, and especially it's on a big weekend, and I know all the women out there want to kill me, I think you got to put a TV in the reception.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I think TV at the reception is pretty tacky. I would just give a blanket out to anybody. I didn't get married in the fall. It wasn't an option for me with my line of work. We got married in February, which was great for multiple reasons. It was the profession liked it. And yes, the price tag was
I got married during COVID.
Oh, well, that probably was awfully cheap, right?
We might be the only people in the history of the wedding business to get a check back.
That's amazing. You got a refund.
Yeah, I did not recommend it for anyone. It certainly was an economical way to get married.
And you couldn't stop love. You just thought, I don't know how long this pandemic's going on. I can't wait one more single moment.
Yeah. I also kind of think I'll say this. I love watching ball as much as anyone I know. I think I regret, especially like you said, in our line of work where we're going to have to miss a lot of weddings because we work weekends.
Yep.
There were weddings I could have gone to that I regret not going to.
I think the same thing. I appreciate that now more that I'm older. And I also think it's easier for me to say now because I'm nowhere near at the top of the college football media industry. I think I have a pretty good sense of where I stand in the pyramid, right? But I'm higher up the career ladder and very comfortable with where I'm at on the career ladder. as compared to, you know, a dozen or 10 years ago, right? It felt like the end of the world, you know, when you were a beat writer trying to claw your way up the ladder, make your place in this industry, and then missing a game. You know, you're the beat writer and you're not there. That didn't feel right. That felt like that was going to put you behind in some way in your career. Now, if I had a good friend, or, I mean, I don't love missing a Saturday for a wedding. I still don't think that's right in my line of work. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're not splitting the atom here. We're opining on football. If it was a good friend or a family member, I'd have no problem. I'd go to my boss and say, hey, sorry, I know the timing's not great, but I got to be at this. And I look back on stuff I missed when I was younger, and I think a little bit, maybe I was wrong in that. But again, it's like I was at a different stage of my career, in my life. And it's kind of easy to look back on now and say that, but the situation was different then.
Yeah, I think two things are at play. Number one, for whatever reason, everything that happens in your 20s feels more significant than it is, mm-hmm. like, professionally. You're right. Like, it feels like, man, if I miss this, like, it's going to be held against me. And what if that's the reason I don't move up on the ladder? When in reality, it's like, that's not going to decide whether or not you move up. Like,
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Now, you probably don't need to make a habit of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it needs to be probably a set of special circumstances. But you also, no matter how many times people tell you, you do not grasp it until it happens, that how hard and difficult it is to get all your friends together again.
Mm-hmm.
And those opportunities are few and far between.
That's totally right. In my column writing about fall weddings, I took note of the fact that I have no more bachelor friends. All my friends are wedded. And thankfully, none of them are on the second circuit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the only thing for me now is the next life step's the second wedding.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. knock on wood here, but they're all still married to spouse number one. So I haven't started doing the second tour, and so that's great. I'm all happy for them. I'm glad they have nice marriages and they're happy in life, right? But you do kind of take stock of the fact of what you just said, like, I don't know when I'm going to get together with all these guys again. Like, you'll see a couple of them here, a couple of them there, but like, you know, a lot of my friends overlap, but they don't overlap in the way that we would all be together,
right?
If not for a wedding,
yeah.
Right? It's like weddings and funerals are when you see all those people together. And I hope there's no funerals in our future anytime soon. So yeah, when the last one kind of the crew got married last year, after that bachelor party and that wedding, it's just like, well, I don't know if we'll all ever be in the same room together again. I mean, I'll be in a room with all these guys at some point or another, but all of us together, maybe not. So I do think, yeah, I don't know. There's going to be more football games, but you can only go to that wedding that one time. You might go to a second wedding, but you can only go to his first wedding.
Well,
that one time.
To your point, my college friend group, we recognize this, and like, I hate fantasy football, but we're all going to Dallas tomorrow, and some of them are already there. I've got to call a game tonight. We're all going to Dallas to do a live fantasy football draft for this like exact reason. Because we don't have any more. We have one more bachelor friend, but he might be lifelong confirmed bachelor. Like, it's just that guy.
You might just need to have a bachelor party to celebrate his bachelorness.
Right. We have... I don't know if the math still checks out, but he famously, I declared him, he's the guy whose wife's not born yet. So, like, I don't know if the math still works on that, but, like, we are not holding out hope that that would be an opportunity. And basically, it's like, we hadn't had a wedding or something in 2 years, and everyone's like, all right, let's do this weekend, and that's what we're doing.
I love that. I like that you're not even really into this thing. But
I hate fantasy football. Hate it.
I don't play any of the fantasy stuff, except I'm in a couple longtime fantasy baseball leagues, and I still do them, I guess, out of habit more than anything. And you know, the big reason I do them is for the draft at the beginning of the year.
No, it's the way
it's a chance to reconnect with guys.
I have, you know, two fantasy football leagues. I have my college friends and I have my high school friends.
Yeah, and it's a chance to make everybody reconnect and get together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like I don't really care. You know.
No, you're right. The best part was the we started doing Zooms for the draft. Like that's the highlight.
You know, the interesting thing with the fall weddings is I was looking at this. There are actually, and I'm not the only one to look at the schedule this way, but there are actually a few Saturdays this year where, like, if you were wanting to have a fall wedding.
Maybe week one.
Week one would be in my.
Although I told Cobb's misremember. Cobb thought week one last year was better. I go, I think you're just remembering Alabama LSU or Alabama Florida State. Like, I went through the whole slate. It's like, it is just as bad as this year.
Well, you did have, it didn't end up being a great game. It was close, but it wasn't a great game. But you did have number one versus number two last year, Ohio State,
yeah.
Texas. So you had the Alabama upset, but you also had Ohio State, Texas, all eyes on Arch, all that type of stuff. So I do think last year was better, but last year wasn't like leaps and bounds better. This year, I don't think week one's the weakest weekend on the schedule, but it's up there. It's in the top three for me. October 3rd is the weakest weekend on the schedule, I think. Now, I know sometimes we say that.
That is typically where the world goes to chaos.
That's right. And so there's always that chance. You know, that 2 years ago, the weekend Bama went down to lost to Vanderbilt. Like, that was one of the weekends we were all like, this isn't a very good weekend of games, and then Bama's losing to Vanderbilt. And there were a couple other spicy upsets, or just wild down to the wire games that day as well. So there's no guarantees, but that October 3rd weekend, the best games are USC, Washington.
We just did the exercise where we tried to pick where game day would go.
Oof, yeah.
I put it at Miami Clemson, but I don't feel good about it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I don't even put that in my top games because I'm totally out on Clemson, but you might be right.
I was thinking they just, like, they, like, that's a spot to go to an ESPN property.
That's right, yeah. Otherwise, they're going into Fox Land.
Correct.
With one of those Big Ten games.
Which they will do, but
I don't know that you're doing that for USC Washington.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about that one either. Like, the other ones we were thinking about, I mean, I guess there's a chance, like, if Carolina's not as bad as the vibes are, I guess you could say Notre Dame at Carolina, but not, I mean, we're reaching here.
Yeah, by the time we've gotten down to Notre Dame, Carolina, I think we've painted a picture of what the weekend is.
I mean, I guess we still have to hold out. There's really no rhyme or reason why a handful of teams can't be the second best team in the Big 12. If Georgia Tech is as depleted as we think, if Colorado can beat Tech, Weber State, Northwestern, and Baylor, you could get back on Dion Mania, Texas Tech at Colorado.
You know, I had someone recently make the pitch to me that Colorado is the third best team in the Big 12 behind Texas Tech and BYU. I mean, I think BYU's solid. I don't know that I think they'll win the conference, but I don't think they're going anywhere. They're gonna.
You know what they are? They're not gonna lose games they're supposed to win, and they're probably getting, like, whenever someone just out talents them, they won't win the game.
Right, but then it's like, who joins the conversation behind Texas Tech and BYU? And maybe it's nobody. Like, last year, Texas Tech and BYU were kind of in a class of their own in the Big 12, and really it was Texas Tech was in a tier of its own, and then BYU is on this, like, secondary tier of its own, and then, you know, it was the 14
Houston, remember Houston? Houston had the quietest 10-win season ever.
That's fair. Yeah, I think Houston was pretty good. They never felt like they were
correct. Like, you never believed in them, but you're like, oh, good for them.
Yeah, but you looked at the end of the season and they had the record. But yeah, someone was making a case to me the other day that Colorado could be the third best team in the Big 12, and it's like, I don't see that yet. But I didn't, like, passionately argue against it just because I said, well, you might be right because I have no idea who the third best team in the Big 12 is.
Yeah, it's like, would I bet on that? No, but I also do believe that there's no rhyme or reason for why a team can't be the third best team in the Big 12.
Totally. Yeah, I think.
Like, if I told you Oklahoma State, if I told you Oklahoma State was really just trying to bleed out and let Gundy hang himself, and now that they're back, spending relatively to what the standard of the league is, and they've got a, you know, there's no reason why I don't think, like, Oklahoma State can't be that third team. Would I bet on it? No, but, like, do I – there's nothing precluding them.
I totally agree. I think, you know, as I look at teams that are unranked that I think could finish the season ranked, pretty sure Oklahoma State's unranked in both polls, right? And it's sometimes hard to project what a guy's going to do going from group of six to power four, especially year one. But he is going in the Big 12. He's not going into the Big 10 or the
Correct.
SEC, right? I think that's an easier segue, particularly going from North Texas to Oklahoma State. I mean, you know what Oklahoma is? It's pretty much North Texas. So going from North Texas to Oklahoma State is like not changing, at least in terms of culture.
No, and recruiting base.
And recruiting, yes. And also, he's got the benefit of bringing a bunch of guys with him. Now, again, people could say, you know, you can't go from group of six into power four. Well, A, I think Kurt Cignetti kind of proved that you can. But B, even in so much as you can't, like, those air raid offenses have always worked to some level of success in the Big 12, right? I mean, Mike Leach proved that you can win with the air raid in the Big 12 with three-star guys. And that's essentially what he's trying to do in year one. Eric Morris, the coach there at Oklahoma State, is take a group of six roster of three-star guys that were running the air raid and a quarterback who's darn good at running the air raid in Drew Mestemaker and try to win in year one of the Big 12. I think they're going to be top half of the league. And I sort of agree with your rationale that, like, at the very least, Oklahoma State was not too upset to see Mike Gundy fail in the end.
Right.
And then and then all of a sudden now, yeah, they've got some funding for their roster. They're not going to be outspending the landman there in West Texas, but they're spending enough to be in the top half of the Big 12.
That is an interesting. Who would you, if you're going to say, all right, unranked team that you feel the strongest about finishing the season ranked, do you have an answer?
Well, Louisville's ranked in the AP poll. They're not ranked in the coaches poll. And since USA Today organizes the coaches poll, I show a little bit of deference, more so than the rest of the industry.
We all got a boss.
Yes, we all got a boss. Most of the industry gives of those two polls, they give the nod to the AP poll. I spend more time talking about the coaches poll than most people. So if we're using the coaches poll,
by the way, it's 24 of the same 25 teams.
I know, isn't it?
And how about this? Like, if you go to the others receiving, it's the same 27 teams.
It's the same, yeah. It's the same teams, and I don't.
Is this Bill Conley's fault?
Maybe.
Are we all just like reading the same thing? Because like that's the other thing. I feel like we've also lost the good old spirited. They don't deserve to be there. Yeah, like I feel like everyone looks at the poll and like that sounds about right.
I think I was less even surprised that it's like mostly the same teams and more moved by the fact of not only is it the same teams, they're all pretty much ranked in the same
place. Tiers, just about.
Yeah. Yeah. Every team is ranked within two spots of where it was in the other poll. It's either spot on, one spot away, or two spots away. Nobody is even three spots away from where they are in the other poll. And, you know, people could dunk on the media and say, well, they're just copying the homework of the coaches. The coaches poll comes out first. That might be true, but I don't really think it's that simple. Like having voted in a poll before, like I would look at the coaches poll. Coaches poll always comes out first, but then I kind of start from scratch with my bracket. I'm not like comparing my rankings to what the coaches did. So I don't even think it's that. I don't think it's media copying the homework of the coaches. I just think there's a lot of groupthink going around in college football right now. And I do think part of it, you mentioned Bill Connolly, he's not the only one, but I think it speaks to just the industry is more saturated with information.
Power ratings too, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be, we'd all kind of forget, unless, you know, we were really in the weeds with it, like maybe you and I, but 98% of the public, like kind of tuned out of college football from maybe February through June, you would pick back up for a couple weeks in spring practice, maybe check out what happened in the spring game. But and there's always going to be your diehards in the South who, of course, always lived and breathed this 365. But it was harder to do. Like, nobody was talking about it on TV in February, as recently as 10 years ago. You know, you couldn't find college football coverage year round other than maybe your local beat guy in the paper who was kind of staying on top of this year round. Now that stuff's at your fingertips all the time. So I think, I don't know if there's such a thing as being overinformed, but we have so much information and all that information is telling us the same thing that I think it leads to a really educated ballot, but that doesn't mean that the rankings are going to be correct. It just means taking all the information into account, these do seem like the best teams. And then it makes it maybe even more fun when someone comes up and that we didn't expect and wrecks the party, or the opposite of that, you know, Clemson and Penn State falling on their face last year. Everybody wanted to criticize the rankings after that happened of the rankings are terrible. Why do we even do them? Et cetera. It's like, no, spare some blame for Dabo Swinney and James Franklin, because they actually did have really talented rosters. People weren't stooges to expect a lot out of Clemson and Penn State last year. Dabo Swinney and James Franklin were stooges for falling on their face with teams that should have been a lot better than they were.
They got fired.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get fired.
Right. I mean,
not fired. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. They did.
Well, I mean, I think this is the other aspect. It's like, all right, Texas, okay, they were a game away from the playoff.
Right.
Penn State fell on their face and it got James Franklin fired. Ohio State made the playoff. Clemson fell on their face. But then Georgia makes the playoff. Notre Dame's first team out. Oregon made the playoff. Alabama made the playoff. Miami made the playoff. So six of the top 10 made the playoff.
Right. There were three big whiffs in the rankings last year. Clemson, Penn State, and LSU. All their coaches got fired. All their bosses obviously thought that they should have been closer to where they were ranked in the preseason than what the product actually was. Yes, the media was wrong in ranking them where they did. The coaches, by the way, they were wrong in ranking them where they did. But, you know, again, I see that a little bit less of a criticism on the rankings and more of it on a criticism of, you guys had talented teams. Why weren't you better? Now, maybe they had more flaws than what we were seeing in the preseason. I think that's fair, right? I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, you and I were pretty low on Clemson. We didn't get it. But, you know, I've never had the Nussmeier gene, so I thought, I did think that LSU was probably overrated. But, I mean, and I never had the Drew allergy. Like, all those, right, like, made sense to me. The other ones, I was like, I kind of get it. And I think that's what's interesting about this year is that last year, the teams that we knew that had the best rosters, we had quarterback questions. What I think is interesting about this year is the teams that we have the fewest questions on, they are returning experience at quarterback and quarterbacks we think are pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. And I've written about, I think you could make the case that if Indiana had a different name on the front of their jersey, they would be ranked much higher than six in the preseason poll. I think that is true. If their jerseys said Ohio State or Oklahoma or Alabama, Indiana would be ranked higher than number six. But also, it is also true that the five teams ranked ahead of them return their starting quarterbacks, and we think all those quarterbacks are pretty good. Now, I know there's a variety of opinions about Arch, but other than one writer for the New York Times, nobody thinks Arch Manning stinks. He doesn't stink. He just wasn't as good as what we thought he would be last year. But the five teams.
Yeah, he may not be the number one pick, but he doesn't stink.
No, I mean, yeah, the Times positioning Arch Manning as the first bust in college football history was just an affront to rhetoric. But all those.
They had to pay today.
Yes, they did. Not for that take, mm-hmm, but for a different one. All those teams in the top five. So as much as I say Indiana has a roster that could be worthy of top five status, I think they do. I also think the five teams ranked ahead of them should be pretty good too, and they have quarterbacks that are returning. Now, Indiana, I mean, they don't have a bum there. They have Josh Hoover, who was one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. People say, well, he threw a lot of interceptions. Well, he also threw a lot of completions and threw for a lot of yards too. So he does need to cut down on the interceptions, but this guy was one of the best Big 12 quarterbacks. And now let's see what he does with Cignetti, who has obviously proven himself pretty well there in a small sample size. So I do think I would be tempted to have Indiana in my top five, but on the other hand, it is kind of hard for me to passionately argue against the teams that we have in the top five because they all have pretty loaded rosters and they're all returning their starting quarterbacks. And that is, as you said, the difference as you get down into that like 6 to 15 range. We think those teams could be pretty good too. We think their rosters are pretty good too, but we see a little bit more turnover at quarterback. I mean, I think Texas Tech, you know, people are over penalizing them in the polls because Brendan Sorsby's not their quarterback. And I understand why that is. Texas Tech was so frantically trying to get Brendan Sorsby, a gambling fiend, on the field that it made us think, well, if Texas Tech was that desperate, surely they got problems without him. And maybe they will have problems at quarterback. But I think it overshadows the fact that by Big 12 standards, Texas Tech has an all-star roster, right? And so when I see them, you know, the AP had them, I think, number 12 in the media poll here. I'm like, I think they could be underrated a little bit. But it gets back to your point. The teams with uncertainty at quarterback this year are in that lower range, whereas last year, the teams we thought were going to be really good, such as like a Penn State or Clemson or an LSU, they just weren't that good at quarterback, and that was part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm in an absolute blender with Indiana because I think somehow they are overrated and somehow they're underrated at the same time. And it's like netting out at six. It's like, okay, I know we've done this move where we blindly are trusting Cignetti.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the most under-discussed stories is the fact that the national champion is without their number one pick and Heisman Trophy winner. And I have Josh Hoover stock. Like, I do, but it's like, how many times does the number one pick and Heisman Trophy winner, how many times does it just keep rolling? I mean, I guess Lincoln kind of did it a little bit, but like, Jalen Hurts was not as good as Baker. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even if Hoover's good, it, like, they could still lose three games.
No, you're right. Indiana could miss the playoffs this year. I also think Indiana could be playing into deep.
They could win 32 games in a row.
Yeah.
I can see either.
Either of those things are plausible. What is interesting is I think because Cignetti did it in back-to-back years, now the schedule was obviously quite accommodating in both those years. And then in year one, when they finally met some real competition, they got beat. But because he then ran it back the next year and it looked even better and they go undefeated, we trust him. But, and I hate to even put Ed Orgeron and Kurt Cignetti in the same sentence because it's completely unfair. But let's just play it out for a minute, right? Everybody was feeding Ed Orgeron when he won the national championship in 2019 with LSU. They went undefeated, had a super team. And I think most of us, I mean, we weren't calling this guy a coaching savant. I don't think anybody used
no, he was a, but he built a great team. Like I don't think he's a great coach, but I do think he is a good talent identifier.
Yeah, he built an unbelievable team, and there were a lot of us thinking, I think LSU got it right. I think they made the
right
hire.
They might have backed their way into this.
Yeah, we thought this guy could be really good for LSU, and then Joe Burrow left, and those wide receivers left, and all. I mean. How many draft picks did that team have? Like a dozen? 14 maybe? It was a crazy.
Oh, God, number. I would have thought it was higher than that. Because half that I think half of each side of the ball. Like, yeah.
I'm talking about the next spring, not just who eventually
got drafted. Oh,
the ensuing draft that spring, I think it was 14 guys drafted. You got it?
That sounds right.
Anyway, it was in that vicinity. And it never was the same again. And, again, I'm not trying to compare Cignetti to Orgeron anyway, but I think your initial point of, are we underestimating what the loss of a great quarterback, a Heisman winning quarterback, and just transitioning to someone else, anyone else, even if Josh Hoover's pretty good, are we underestimating what that could mean? And I think LSU going from 2019 onward is sort of an argument for that, of once Joe Burrow left, we realized Joe Burrow had a lot to do with the success. And that doesn't mean that Kurt Cignetti is headed for an Ed Ogeron future. I think he's most certainly not. I am a believer in Cignetti. But I do think we've all got Cignetti mania right now, and maybe we are underestimating how much the quarterback influenced the success. We've now had a chance to see Bill Belichick without his quarterback, and it looks awful.
Uh-huh.
14 draft picks, you were correct. 10 inside the top 100.
It's unbelievable. That team, unbelievable.
It's the best team of my lifetime, especially when you consider the, I know it's not as parity-driven as now is, but that era is way more there were more teams that were capable of winning, and that team could not be stopped.
They could not be stopped. And I know these arguments, so much of it comes down to how old are you, you know, what's your nostalgia for certain eras and all that. So, you know, we could get somebody on this show who's twice our age, and they'd make the case for some old Oklahoma or Nebraska team. And I think
Athlon or Sporting News did like the top 140, and like the 95 Nebraska team, like they have an argument. Like they played one game within two scores.
Right, and there was that Miami team. What year was that?
01 Miami.
01 Miami.
01 Miami's pretty unbelievable too.
Yeah, they've got a spot in the conversation as well. But man, it's hard to compare against eras too. But yeah, that 2019 LSU team was incredible. And I think what took a little bit of their due away from them was then the following year Alabama.
Yeah,
was so good, and they went undefeated. But I do think
it was also COVID, and nobody played defense that year.
It was COVID; nobody played defense. I think it's a way more impressive feat what LSU did in going 15-0 in a non-COVID year. Alabama's achievement was special in its own right because in a crazy year they made it look not crazy. Like they mastered the COVID year better than anybody else, and they also had a lot of talent on that team. I do think, you know, of my lifetime, the 2020 Alabama is probably one of the 8 best teams of my lifetime. But I think it took away from just how special 2019 LSU was because it came the following year, right?
And yep.
Like, oh, is this going to be the new era of college football of just super teams? And you know, these offenses that are hanging 45 points a game and roots the title. And then, you know, Indiana last year kind of got themselves in that conversation, I guess, but I don't know if 2025 Indiana and 2019 LSU were going to play, I would probably have LSU as like a 5.5-point favorite. You?
At least. I think the best team in 2019 is a lot better than the best team right now.
Yeah.
I just think the talent's more spread out. That doesn't mean like
I'd take LSU to cover, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make the argument that what Indiana did is more impressive in the sense of no history, whatnot. Oh, but totally. It's like, I still think if you're going dude for dude, I know which team I'd bet on.
Totally, yeah. Indiana's turnaround is...
And to go undefeated again with never played more games, like all, like you can say it's like a more impressive accomplishment, but I still know which team I think I'd bet on.
Yeah, better team to me, it's probably an open to shut case for LSU.
All right, man, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
That is Blake Topmeyer. When we come back, 5 for the weekend next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The right window treatments change everything.
your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
ESPN. All right, George, five for the weekend. Our last weekend without college or NFL football that counts.
Yep.
Where are you starting? Number five.
Number five. I am going up to Milwaukee this evening. We have the Braves.
This afternoon.
Is it this afternoon?
Right after we get off the air.
Oh, is that first pitch?
3:10.
Oh, it's a 3:10 first pitch. Excuse me. I just figured, oh, it's a Friday. They don't usually start that early.
Available on ESPN Unlimited, but I'm sure it'll be blocked out for us.
Likely. It would not shock me, but the Braves take on the Brewers from American Family Field. This afternoon, excuse me, not tonight, we've got a phenomenal pitching matchup. Chris Sale, Jacob Mizorowski, must watch television.
All right, my number five, racing is back.
That's much higher for me.
Give me Dutch Grand Prix weekend.
Did you watch Sprint Quali earlier?
I did watch. Kimi did not win. I'm still, like, I want to see a sprint.
I also want to see the sprint because the McLarens looked really quick on the mediums.
Yep.
But took maybe a little bit of a step back on the softs.
Yeah, so I want to see that. We also got Yuki's back.
He actually looks pretty good.
Just missed making Q3, but it's good to have them back. The boys racing again.
My number four, you will see for my top four here, we've got to keep up some appearances. You guys know I'm all about my bias picks.
Mm-hmm.
So number four, also just because I actually get to watch the game because it's on Apple TV, I've got the Rays on here. The Rays on the road in Baltimore. The game is on Apple TV. I will be able to watch. It'll be fun. Freddy Peralta getting another start. We'll see if the pitching lab can finally fix him.
All right, my number four, that's where I'm putting the Braves and Brewers, as you point out. Outstanding pitching matchup. And now we're just at the point where, like, anytime Mizorowski's on the bump, it's must watch.
He's insane.
It is exhilarating to watch.
What did you think of the Miz asking Mizorowski to change his nickname?
Well, we obviously support all things the Miz does. I presume, A, nobody's better at getting his name out there than the Miz. Also, it's probably trademarked. Also, that trademark probably belongs to WWE. Almost everything the Miz does is winking at the camera.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, he has been, like, when you make the decision to go from reality TV to, like, wrestling, like, I think you just live in the world of the cameras always on.
Yeah.
And so he's always on. The Miz's best move ever, though, was somehow convincing his wife to move to Vegas so that he could, like, he's gotten obsessed with golf, so that he could literally live on a golf course. The fact that he was able to pull that off is, like,
that's incredible.
We don't discuss, like, great moments in human history. The fact that he actually convinced her just so he could play more golf is second to none.
Phenomenal work.
You're number three.
My number three tonight, NFL Network. I've got my Jets on the road at Acrisure playing the Steelers.
All right, number three. Let's get some high school football out there, y'all. We got Germantown in Houston. Daron Sutton going from Ridgeway over to Germantown. Historic rivalry. Should be two pretty good teams. They also split last year. Germantown won the early season matchup, and Houston knocked them out of the playoffs. That should be a good one.
Should be a great year. I mean, higher up, are we putting your game of the night on there?
We'll
get there.
We got to sell.
We'll get there.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We will get there.
My number two. Then this is where I'm putting the Dutch GP weekend. Zandvoort is just super fun, super cool track, incredibly narrow at times. So we'll see if there's a lot of overtaking, but it's just fast. It's just a quick track.
A lot of people also are going off the road.
A lot of trips into the gravel.
Yep.
This morning. So we'll see. And it looks like a lot of these teams are bringing a ton of upgrades. So we'll see. Also, there was the news earlier this week. I don't think Aston Martin is going to get any better with their recent investment from Woody Johnson. So
yep.
If it continues that everything he touches implodes, I am very sorry, Fernando. That's all I can say.
He's starting dead last.
I'm aware for the sprint tomorrow morning.
My number two, this is probably the best actual high school game. Lausanne and Southwind.
Oh, yeah.
This game, though, is going to be played at Germantown High because Southwind is laying field turf, but it's not ready.
Okay. All right.
But these have been two of the best local programs throughout really the last decade, and this should be a phenomenal high school football game. But again, at Germantown, it's Southwind's home game, but it's at Germantown because Southwind's field turf isn't ready. That's tough.
Is that not just one of the most...
It's the most high school thing.
You read my mind.
It is the most high school football. Like, the things I have seen in 10 years of calling high school games is second to none.
That's incredible. Just being able to, having to say, hey, other high school, can we play at y'all's place? Because we
Hey,
can't.
Y'all are playing at Houston, so the field's available. Like, I want to know, like, do they have to rent it?
What's the hourly rate?
Yeah, is it a flat fee? Do they have split tickets?
What if the field gets really torn up? That's...
I think they still have grass. I'm pretty sure they still have grass.
At least it's dry?
Uh-huh. Everything's dry right now.
Right now. Give it a couple
Including
weeks.
My yard.
Oh, brother, you're telling me.
That's
what I was doing this morning.
All right, number one.
My number one. I would give it for the entire weekend, but I really kind of... It's not even that great of a game. It's kind of a mid-table game. But our...
EPL back?
It's not EPL for me. It's La Liga for me. But yes, the major European soccer leagues are kicking back off this weekend. The one I'm paying attention to, obviously the club I support, and that is Athletic Club Bilbao, and they're taking on Sevilla on week one. Was actually supposed to be Barcelona, but for whatever reason, that got pushed. I don't know why. But either
way. Maybe
they
were laying field turf?
I mean, they might be.
We know they're not laying just field turf.
That's for sure. That is for sure. But it is cool to see like actual league play getting back started up. I was looking at the EPL. That schedule is a tough one for week one.
It's not great.
Who's Chelsea have?
They play Monday, Fulham.
Oh.
So,
technically
a London derby.
That's a big technically you're using there.
That is definitely a big technically. And then my number one tonight, you can hear it on 790 The Bet. Also, if you're someone that listens to Cardinals games and you depend on 790, those games, when MUS plays on Friday nights, games get bumped over to 92.9. So, if you want to listen to the Cardinals tonight, that will be on 92.9. The Owls taking on Bartlett. This game last year was the first walk-off I've ever called.
Really?
First ever walk-off. The Owls completed a pass as the clock expired to win 23-17. The teams have played three consecutive years. Owls won pretty dominantly the first time. The Panthers won pretty dominantly the second time. Last year, basically, the game just lived inside one score. And tonight, the teams will fire it back up. Pre-game will start at 6:45. Again, Al's taking on Bartlett at 6:45 for pregame. Kickoff at 7 p.m. You can listen to it on 790 The Bet. Let us take one final break. We'll tell your story next, right here after Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. It's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
All right, George. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Did you happen to catch the highlight of J.K. Scott's business decision in the preseason game for the Chargers?
I did not.
Like, it is just textbook of a punter going, this is preseason. But for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, Jim Harbaugh was asked about said business decision after the game last night.
I found it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to plan when he's in that position to make a tackle. So we need to work on it, coach it up.
That's about right.
I honestly think if J.K. Scott weren't good, I think that would have been, like, in Harbaugh's mind, a fireable offense, a cuttable offense.
Oh, for Harbaugh, absolutely.
Correct.
If only J.K. Scott wasn't a really good punter.
Hitting moon balls. The old helium balls. My thanks to Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and surfaces with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.